right. Hey, everybody. Welcome to I Don't Care with me, Kevin Stevens. Hopefully, you'll notice the new graphics that we have. The designers at Market Scale, I asked them and said, hey, guys, I've looked the same way for 4 years. Can we make a little change? You know, I think I've gotten better looking. I've heard some people say to the contrary, but they made some new graphics for me. And this is the first episode that you will get to enjoy those. And along with my guest today, Dr. David Schreiner. Dave, welcome to I Don't Care.
Kevin, thanks so much for having me. And thanks for what you're doing in our leadership community, as well as at your organization. I've had a chance to see how active you are in your community, and that's true leadership, Kevin. So thank you for that.
Well, thanks, Dave. I appreciate that. We're just going to turn this into a mutual admiration society, and I always like shows like this. So Dave, tell my audience a little bit about you. You have done some great things in your career, and definitely want to talk about that, and we certainly want to talk about your book as well.
Well, Kevin, I've gotten really lucky, I think, is what has happened. But I've been fortunate enough to be at Catherine Shaw Bethea Hospital, which is a rural hospital located in Northwest Illinois, in Dixon, Illinois. I've been here 35 years this month. So a really long time at one place.
Congratulations.
Thank you. 13 of those have been as our president and chief executive officer. We have about 1,000 employees, something around 90 physicians, and we're in a small community of about 16,000. So, I've been really fortunate to lead this organization and some really great people for a long time.
That's tremendous. Now how big of a catchment area do you have, Dave?
It's about 45,000.
Okay.
It's the county that we're in is called Lee County, and we have Southern Ogle County. And like many rural communities, Kevin, it's not growing. It's pretty stagnant.
Yeah.
It's not shrinking, but it's also not growing. So we're very intentional about making sure that we capture the people that are here in our area, and we give them a good reason to stay at home for their health care.
See, that's fantastic. I've had the opportunity to spend some time in rural healthcare in my past in Kentucky and in Nebraska, and number one, just love it, because I always feel like, you know, that's where healthcare is really delivered. In the smaller communities, you know, you guys are doing everything you can, like you said, to keep people at home, and you know, everybody wants to get their care as close to home as possible, and so congrats for what you guys are doing there. You know, you guys, you know, feed hospitals like mine now here in Central Texas. Hey, we've got a great relationship with, we've got about 10 rural hospitals that we work with, and we're very intentional about building that relationship and making sure that, number one, we're providing quality care for the residents, you know, like your folks are doing too. But number two, and I know, you know, hey, it's tough for everybody out there, but it's really tough for the guys like you in rural America. And so what we intentionally do is we make sure that when we do everything that we can for that patient that we need to do here, we get them back to the smaller hospitals, you know, whether it be for skilled nursing or home health or therapy or whatever, we make sure of that. So congrats again for what you're doing.
Well, thank you, Kevin. And I think that's really important, not only to our patients, but their family members. And we see in rural healthcare, our family members do not want to drive 2 hours into downtown Chicago and pay for parking. And, you know, hotel rooms are a different price. And they have a hotel room that's like our mortgage here, right, for one night. So a lot of our patients aren't ready to do that. So we take care of people that we see in church, and, you know, our kids go to school together. And it's really a blessing to be able to take care of people in our own community.
Yeah. Yeah. And again, you know, that's what I really loved about the smaller communities, but even my community, the same thing. You know, you walk around and I know you guys are like us. We always say we take care of family, friends, and neighbors. And you and I, we really do. Because on a given day, I'm sure you know 90% of your patients. I feel like I know at least 10 to 15% of ours every day. So,
yeah, isn't that a tremendous gift, though, to be able to make a difference at a time when they really need us? And that's why I have so much respect for the people that work in healthcare. And it's never been harder. I think it's as difficult now as it ever has been. There are more restraints and challenges on the people that are closest to the work. And our job as leaders is to take away those obstacles to let them do their job in a meaningful way.
Yeah, that's exactly right. Well, hey, you know, I think that's a good segue into your book. You know, I've always thought about writing a book. You did something that I thought about. Congrats for that. But your book is called The Best Part of Their Day, Supercharging Communication with Values-Driven Leadership. Man, you've had a lot of words that I've really liked. But Dave, tell me, what got you started writing this book?
Yeah, I go all the way back to pre-pandemic, Kevin. So back to 2019, and I felt as if I was underperforming. I'd been in my role as CEO for about 8 years at that time, and we were doing fine. I mean, our KPIs were good. Our employee engagement was good. Our patient satisfaction was good. But I just felt like I could do more. And I had lunch with a good friend of mine that had just finished a doctoral program in values-driven leadership. And a couple of days later, he showed me that curriculum. And it had everything to do around the idea of improving our communities, improving our organizations, and improving ourselves. And when I saw that, I wanted to be a part of it. And so I started this doctoral program. And then about a year and a half, 2 years later, the pandemic hit. I would never recommend starting a doctoral program when there's a pandemic on the way. Not a really good idea. But what I learned from that was a concept called appreciative inquiry. And then I also, I did my doctoral dissertation on the topic of executive engagement. And so what this book is, Kevin, it's all the stories that my dissertation chair would not let me put in an academic paper. So I heard all these great stories of these heroes around the country, some of the best performing rural hospitals in the nation. And I wanted to tell that story. And that's where the book came from.
That's tremendous. So, yeah, you say something in here that we talk about all the time, you know, that, you know, whenever you meet a person, whether it be one of your associates or a patient or a family member, we want to make sure that whenever we leave them, that we made their day better. And we, you know, I always say, hey, look, 99% of the people in a hospital could be having the absolute worst day of their lives. And so we want to try to do everything that we can to improve that experience in that difficult time.
Yeah, I completely agree with you. And the goal of the book, the goal that I have as every day aspirationally, is I want people that I connect with to go home that night and talk to their partner, talk to their spouse, and say, you know, I got a chance to meet with the CEO, and that was the best part of my day. And it doesn't have anything to do with the CEO part. It just has to do with listening to people and understanding what's important to them. And again, trying to remove some of those obstacles and sometimes telling them that you appreciate them and you love them for the work that they do. I think that's really important.
Yeah. And it's funny, we were talking before we started recording about some other guests, and I was fortunate enough to have Quint Studer on last year. And, you know, what he tells, I mean, what a great storyteller, obviously. But he told a story about having the opportunity to tell a colleague of his who was passing that he loved him. And so, you know, I take that to heart. As I've gotten older, my walls have really come down, and I make sure that people around me know how I feel about it. And so, you know, I'm telling people who I work with, our patients, hey, look, I love you. What can I do to make your day better? And so let's talk a little bit more about your book. You said you know, in there, you've got 15 actionable elements about how to communicate with people. Let's just touch on a couple of those. Throw some of your favorite ones out.
Yeah, that'd be great. I appreciate that opportunity, Kevin. And what happened is I interviewed it with five of the best performing hospitals around the country, and I interviewed their CEO, the chairman of their board of directors, the president of their medical staff, one of their vice presidents, and then an hourly employee. And what came of this is I found there's some commonality about these best practices. So a couple that are my favorite, one of them is express gratitude. And you and I are talking a little bit about that, but can I tell you a quick story about
Please.
That? Yeah. So there was a hospital CEO in Vermont, and he came from a large Catholic family. And when something good happened to a family member, they celebrated with food. That was the way their family of origin did it. And so what he did when he became CEO is he said, you know what? Every 3 months, we're going to have our executive team serve our employees a meal. We're going to do it on first shift, second shift, third shift, weekends. We're going to make sure that everyone knows that we love them and appreciate them. And so they would show up and do that. And again, this is a highly performing hospital. They had a lot of things to celebrate. But this guy told me that even if we don't have something, we'll make something up. It's Arbor Day, it's Valentine's Day, we don't care. We're going to find a reason to have a party. And that connected his organization in such a meaningful way. And so that's something that is one of those 15 concepts and something that I put into practice here at Catherine Shaw Bethea Hospital.
Yeah. Yeah, we've done that too here. And again, at my age, in my stage of my career, I like just having a good time. And so, you know, I can either confirm or deny that I've dressed up like Santa Claus a few times. I've dressed up like a Mardi Gras king. We do things like that. And So we've got a big event coming up in about a week. We're right in the path of the big total eclipse. Okay. So this is going to come out about, 4 to 6 weeks after that, but I'm going to tell the story anyway. So we were talking about how, we've got people in our hospital that want to see this. This is a once in a lifetime event. People want to see this. Our employees want to see it. And so we decided we're going to have a little bit of a party, and all of our associates who are providing direct patient care that they can't get away from, man, we're going to go outside for an hour with glasses, and all that. And any of our patients that can go outside, that are ambulatory, we're going to let them go take a look at this. We're going to serve. This was my idea. I thought it was kind of creative. Moon pies and sun-kissed orange. And so, why not, have that? And we've got t-shirts, we've got glasses, we've got all this stuff, but we like to celebrate here too. And it's incredibly important. We do kind of what you say, that you do as well. We'll go serve down in the cafeteria, in and around Christmas or Thanksgiving or any of the other big holidays. But yeah, that's a big part of what we do around here.
It's fun to do, right, Kevin? So, it's a lot of fun as well, and we get to connect with people in a little bit different way.
Yeah, absolutely.
All right, so
give us another good story.
The concept is around the idea of using multiple channels to communicate the message. And so the story behind that is I'm interviewing a nurse from Detroit. And, just like we did when you're on some kind of a virtual call, you got your camera on, you've got the audio on, and they come online, right? So when this camera came on, there was this noise going on that I just couldn't quite make out. It sounded like an airplane was landing. And the video comes on, and this nurse is holding a baby, and she's vacuuming when she turned on the TV. I'm like, what in the heck is going on here? As I got to know her after she turned the vacuum off, she says, I'm a full-time intensive care nurse. I work part-time in a long-term care facility in a nursing home. I have 6 children, and one of them are special needs. And so our CEO works really hard to do a video every other week. And the thing's about 5 to 7 minutes long. I don't have time to watch that. I just don't have enough hours in the day. So what I suggested was, let's transcribe the video. Give me a printout of what's in there. And I might go into the 3-minute and 45-second mark because that's something that I'm interested in. And so as soon as we hung up the phone, Kevin, we started transcribing the videos that I do here at KSB Hospital. We have to find a way to meet people where they are and understanding how busy they are in their lives. Because so often as a leader in the past, I've hit that send button and I thought I did a really good thing. And it doesn't mean squat if nobody, right? I mean, that if communicating is not doing a great job of drafting a message that I think is brilliant, engaging is putting something out there that allows me to get feedback from the people that are closest to the work to describe how we can serve our patients and their family members in a more meaningful way.
Yeah, absolutely. And everybody learns differently. Everybody receives communication differently. And, your videos are great, but if they can read it or if they can, maybe just get a quick synopsis of it somewhere. Yeah. We try to do that as well. We communicate in a wide variety of ways, just to get the message out that we want people to get.
I think we're finding as leaders, it's and not or, right? It's not do an email or a video, or it's not have a small group meeting and an annual meeting. You got to put all those things together.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. Well, like you, in one of your quotes that I really like, at its heart, communication is connection one person to another. So we've got to find that way, whenever we're trying to craft that communication, I really tend to focus on, one person, it's kind of like, okay, I sing at church, right? And so I'm up in the choir loft. And a lot of times I'll find somebody in the congregation and sing to them and just, communicate that way, give them some good eye contact. And it
even if there's 200 people in the church, right? It doesn't matter. You've got to connect with those individuals one-on-one. And I think that's where we feel heard. We feel like we're respected. That's important.
Yeah, absolutely. So What else? Any other just little tidbits from my folks, you know, from your research, from your experience? Yeah, because I like to share best practices with my audience. And boy, you've got a lot of best practices here. So
yeah, I appreciate that. There are three major headings that I discovered in the first. The first is engage and connect at a personal level. So an example of that is finding ways to express gratitude. The second major theme then is engaging with intent through various mediums. We talked a little bit about that. The third is being mission focused through united leadership. So one of the takeaways that I like to give your listeners on this one, Kevin, is that we have mission statements and we have things that are organizationally critical. We have to make sure that we talk about those every opportunity we get. We want to talk about that mission and work that way into every conversation that we have, because it's the why. It's the thing that gets us out of the car in the morning. It's the thing that makes us want to come in on a Saturday morning and do something important for our work. So just keeping that up, coming back over and over and over, I think is really important. And so that was one of the things in the other category that are part of these three themes and then these 15 sub-themes.
Yeah, you know, we're real blessed here that we have administrative residents every year from what I'll say, and Dave, we've only met, briefly. I'm a huge Baylor fan. Hey, and I'm sitting here in Waco, Texas. I'm in God's country. You know, I'm a Baylor grad twice over. And so really proud of the fact that we connect with the Baylor students. And so I get the opportunity to go speak with them every year in one of their classes in the MBA in Healthcare Administration program. And that's what I talk about. I say, guys, you know, I've been in a little bit of every aspect of healthcare. I've been in for-profit, not-for-profit, faith-based, community, all that stuff. But it all comes down to healthcare is a calling, right? I mean, we're called to do this. I had one of my first bosses say, you know what, you can get rich doing something else, but you're not going to get the personal satisfaction that you get working in healthcare. And 35 years later, he was right to this day.
He remembered that. He remembered that tidbit. So things that say today can change someone's life.
Oh, absolutely. Well, you know, you say that and you never realize what you're going to say or what you're going to hear, that you are going to retain that for that length of time. I was in a Catholic hospital in outstate Nebraska, and we still had sisters on site. And so I always went and talked to them, loved hanging out with the sisters. And one day we were at budget season, and Sister Rita B reaches over, puts my head in her hands and looks me right in the eye and says, Kevin, always remember, no margin, no mission. And so that has stuck with me my entire career, and I use that often. But that, you know, that, and again, that was a connection with just she and I. And that was the essence of great communication. And boy, she did that on a wonderful level.
Yeah, one of the things I'm excited about with the book is that there are 15 of these. And what I found through my research from a quantitative perspective is that if you're doing 12 of those, you reach one level. If you're doing 10, there's another. If you're doing 8, there's another. So it might just be an idea that people get a chance to look at these and say, you know, I'm doing a really nice job on 9 of these, but what if I add one? And I work on that for a couple of weeks, and then maybe I add a second one. Before you know it, you're engaging in a more meaningful way. And the other thing that's so cool about this, Kevin, is over the year or so, 2 years that I've been working with this, I found that this works in the boardroom, and it also works in the dining room. So it works with it. It's something that's effective in how I show respect for my wife. My kids have given me feedback around it. Just feels different, and you know that's a nice feeling. That's a good thing to hear from the people that matter so much to us.
Boy, absolutely. So, yeah, finally, in our last few minutes, you know, I always like for my guests to kind of speak to the next generation. You know, I was talking with somebody a couple of weeks ago. I said, you know, one thing in healthcare that we don't do a good enough job with is succession planning and really building up the next generation of leaders. How do you do that? What would you say to somebody coming out of college today, thinking about a healthcare career?
Well, you mentioned the opportunities you have at Baylor. I have some of those opportunities with the University of Iowa, and they have an MHA program that's just a couple hours from us, and we have had interns from there. And you mentioned this earlier, and I think it's so important, Kevin, that idea of don't be afraid to tell people that you care about them. I wish I would have learned that earlier. And if people can pick that up and do so in a respectful, meaningful way to others, then you're remembered. I mean, it took me a really long time to be able to tell somebody I love them. It was not a word that I was comfortable using. And I've had that same kind of experience when I've done so. And when I'm authentic and when I'm transparent in the way that I use that word, it can have a meaningful difference for people. And you can tell people you love something that they did if that feels a little bit better. I think it's okay, and I think it's in fact needed in today's environment when things are really hard on the front lines. Those people need to be appreciated.
Absolutely. Well, Dave, I really appreciate you. This has been, I've had a lot of fun, and I really thank you for writing a book that's so really needed in our industry and really business in general. You know, connecting with people, communicating well with people, on a level that makes sense for them. So Dave, thanks. You know, thanks for being on I Don't Care with me. Hey guys, Dr. David Schreiner, the author of Be the Best Part of Their Day. Go out and find it. Dave, last chance for plugging your book. Where can they find it?
It's a number one seller on Amazon, so that's probably the easiest way to go. It's available now or soon will be on Audible. So there's a couple of different ways to access it. But thank you, Kevin. Thanks for the opportunity. Keep doing the important work that you're doing. I appreciate you very much.
Thanks, Dave. Take care. Everybody, have a great day, and we'll see you next week. Take care.